Welcome to the Doubles Only Tennis Podcast, where you learn the best doubles strategies to improve your game and win more matches. I'm your host, Will Bocek. This podcast, my website, and my weekly newsletter all focus on the goal of better understanding the sport of doubles and helping players like you improve faster through actionable advice that you can use in your very next match. My goal is to provide the best doubles strategy resources in the world. And to do that, I study, analyze, and work with players at every level of the game, all the way up to the ATP and WTA tours. If you enjoy this podcast, I've created double strategy products that go even deeper if you want to take your doubles knowledge to the next level. At the end of this episode, I'll explain more about them, or if you want to learn more now, go to thetennistribe.com/products. Here's today's episode. Today, I'm going to cover a topic that I don't think I've covered in a ton of depth on the podcast before, and it's something that's come up a lot recently in some of my clinics and just kind of researching and looking into a lot of data in terms of doubles, and that is second serve strategy. So I feel like this is a really important topic that is a little bit neglected and misunderstood, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to break it down into if you or your partner have a strong second serve, we're going to go through medium second serves and then weak second serve. So we're going to kind of break it into three categories, which will depend on your skill level for the serve. A couple of quick announcements before I get into all that. So number one, you've heard me talk about TennisCon already. My presentation is actually today as I'm recording this, which is Tuesday the 24th, but you're probably listening to this on Wednesday the 25th. So my presentation is still available if you sign up. I'm going to link to the sign up page in the show notes, but it is going to not be available anymore as of tonight at midnight if you're listening to this on the 25th. So each of these presentations is free for 48 hours, and then after that you have to pay for an upgraded membership, which is, I believe right now it's only $97, which for me, I think if you're really serious about improving your game, is well worth it. Full disclosure, I do receive a percentage of that if you do upgrade through our link in the show notes. But regardless, I mean, there's 30 or 40 different really good coaches with 15 to 20 minute presentations. A couple of them today, if you're listening to this on Wednesday. So Gigi Fernandez has one called Five Secrets to Championship Doubles. There is one on Secrets to the Best Ground Strokes of Your Life. Will Hamilton, who's been on the podcast before, has one on replacing the old rules of doubles with new rules. And then tomorrow, Jeff Greenwald, who I've talked about before, has a presentation on avoiding the three big mental traps that kill your confidence. Jorge Capistani, who I talk about all the time and consume a lot of his content, has a two-handed backhand masterclass on Thursday as well. So there's just tons and tons of really good content that you can access for free. So again, I'm going to link to that below, and you can check out all those presentations and then purchase a lifetime membership if you would like to. My leagues, my training product for league players is going to go on sale November 8th. So that is a couple of weeks from today. It is almost complete. I've got, I haven't added it all up. I think it's around 2 to 3 hours of video content, and you're going to hear my conversation with a team that is 3-0 and 3-5 players going to USTA Nationals. They actually just finished up Nationals this past weekend. I know they started out 1-1. I'm not sure how they finished up, but you're going to hear my conversation with them. I present in the form of kind of a PowerPoint presentation, and then also we do a lot of Q&A on my whiteboard as well. We talk about how to beat a team that has a weaker player. We talk about how to win with a weaker partner. We talk about how to beat teams that lob, how to not fall into the other opponent's game styles. We talk about how to turn around a match if you've lost the first set? What should you be communicating with your partner? So there's a lot that's going to be involved in this training product, and I'm working on a few bonuses as well for those of you who do play USTA leagues or leagues really anywhere around the world. So keep an eye out for that, launching November 8th. And then this weekend, I am headed to Cancun for the WTA Finals. So this will be the last strategy episode for at least a couple of weeks, because I'm going to be doing a lot of interviews with players down there. So definitely watch the WTA Finals if you get a chance. You'll be able to watch it all on Tennis Channel. You might have to buy Tennis Channel Plus to watch, especially some of the doubles. Sometimes they don't show that on Tennis Channel. But I'd encourage you to watch it. I've talked about before how you can learn a lot, especially from watching the WTA players, because their game styles represent, I feel like, the club level players a little bit more. The men's game is the serves are so much bigger, and there's a lot more fast-paced stuff going on, so it's a little bit harder to follow. But definitely watch that and look out for podcast episodes with some of the doubles players down there. There's Jessica Pegula, Coco Gauff are going to be down there. Barbara Krejcikova and Katerina Siniakova, who I've had on the podcast before, and a lot more awesome doubles players. So definitely check that out. So let's dive into second serve strategy. So like I said, this is a topic that I haven't talked a lot about before. But when we're thinking about second serves, this is a very specific type of point. So when I'm putting together a strategy report, whether it be for a pro doubles team at the WTA Finals, like I did last year, for example, or a college team, or even a club-level team that's a 3-0 team, I break everything down into first serve points, second serve points, deuce points, add points, and so on. So second serve points typically are only going to account for about 35% of all the points in a doubles match, because usually your first serve percentage should be around that 65% mark. So that is something you can measure. It's hard to measure while you're playing, but if you can have a friend on the sidelines kind of chart your match, you can measure that, and you want to keep your first serve percentage around 65%. And that's usually what it's going to end up being at most levels. There's certainly players who don't do that and never actually fix it. But regardless, it's not the majority of points, but they are very, very important. You know, 35% is not insignificant. So what is our goal with second serve points? Our goal should be to win over 50% of them. So with our first serve, we want to be winning 65-70% of those, but second serve's a little bit more difficult, right? The serve's going to have a little bit less pace. Sometimes we might double fault. So if we can win over 50% of those, we're doing a good job. One of the keys, obviously, to this is to not double fault. The double fault rates I've seen, especially recently, for club-level teams that I've been coaching are a little bit higher than I would like. So I think this is something that really you need to be practicing, and practicing with pressure. So I've talked about this a little bit before. Depth is key. So if you can create some lines, a couple of racket links inside the service line, and try to work on hitting your second serve deep in the box, that's going to help keep the returner a little bit further back, and they won't be able to redirect down the line as easily or pick on your partner at the net as easily. And if you can practice with some pressure as well, create some games. Maybe if you miss your second serve, you have to take a lap around the court, or you have to do 5 push-ups or something like that. If you can create some of that pressure in practice that kind of simulates a real match, then that's going to help you once the matches do come around. So practicing your second serves is super, super important. So let's dive into the 3 different types of serves. So if you have a strong second serve, this is if you're a little bit higher level player, you might be 4-0, 4-5, or even higher, or maybe your serve's just a strength and you have trouble with some of the other areas of your game. One thing that I see a lot, and I see this at really every level, even when I do reports for Division I teams, I'll often see players want to hit their second serve to the backhand every time. And a lot of times that's not actually the best tactic. There's a lot of players, myself included, who have a better backhand return than forehand return. So serving to the backhand is kind of a myth that I haven't talked about in a while, but you don't have to serve to the backhand. So if you're a high-level player, if you have control of your second serve, definitely using variety and looking for the weakness, whether it's the forehand or the backhand, is going to be the way to go. So two of the best types of second serves, if you are a high-level player and have this kind of capability, are the slice serve and the deuce court. So this is a great serve in singles and doubles. The slice serve in the deuce court is going to allow you to make a higher percentage because you have a little bit more court to work with. So that far kind of deep corner is going to be a little bit further distance from you than the tee serve. So if you hit that same tee serve, let's say you hit the tee serve and it's 6 inches long. If you take that protractor that I've talked about before and kind of bring it around to the wide serve, it's going to land deep in the service box. So you have a little bit more room to work with going for that deep corner in the deuce court as well as the ad court. And then righties in the ad court are typically going to hit that kick serve out wide, which a lot of players do struggle with, that high kick serve at the backhand. Formations are going to be okay if you have a strong second serve, especially if the server is fast. So you can imagine if I'm running I formation or Australian and my partner's at the net, if the returner goes down the line and I don't have great speed or mobility, I'm going to have trouble getting to it. So we probably don't want to be running I or Australian formation, especially if it's, you know, down break point or maybe a big deuce point or something like that. Instead, you want to stick with regular. But if you do have the ability to get over there, or if you just have a particularly strong second serve where you feel like they're going to miss the majority of those down the line attempts, then I think formations are okay if you do have that strong second serve. You can also, if you're not super fast, you can run the I formation and then just move back to traditional. So that would be in the deuce court, run I formation and have the net player go left. So this is, they can still get beat if the returner steps in, they take it early, they really connect with the down the line return and they make it in the doubles alley. That's going to be a low percentage shot. So I would give that up on the majority of those second serve points. If it's, you know, again, you have to think about the risk. If you're down set point, you might not want to risk that, right? Even if it's only a 20% chance that they make that shot. If they do make it, the set's over. So you might want to run a traditional formation in that case. But running I in the deuce court, that means the net player is moving left. In the ad court, the net player is moving right. And then you're shifting back basically to your typical deuce and ad court rally is another way to do that if you do have a strong second serve. So let's say your second serve is in between. Let's say it's not super weak, but it's not super strong either. For this in-between scenario, you can do a lot of the same things I just talked about, depending on how much control of the second serve you have, but you want to try more stuff on low-risk points, just to experiment, to give the opponent different looks, and to figure out where their weaknesses are. So that means you might run a formation on at love-love, or at 15-love, or 30-love, or 40-love. But if you're down 15-30, you might stick with traditional just to a regular formation. I keep calling it traditional, but they mean the same thing. You might stick with a regular formation if you're down 15-30, because if you lose that point, then you're down double break point. So that's a bit risky in that scenario. But the reason you'll use some formations and some variation, whether it be you know, formations or you can poach or fake or something like that, some net player movement on some of those lower risk points. You want to use those on lower risk points because it will give the returner a different look. And when you do go to regular formation, let's say on that 30-40 point, when you're down break point, you're going to, they're not going to be in as much of a rhythm. So if you're using regular formation every time on your second serve, they're going to get, let's say, 10 straight returns against regular formation. But if you've been using a mixture of eye formation or Australian, or you've called a few poaches, then on that 30-40 point, they're going to have a little bit more doubt in their mind. They're not sure what you're going to be doing because you've been mixing it up on them. So they're more likely to miss that return. So that's why I'd encourage you, if you have a medium or strong second serve, to call more poaches, to use more formations on some of those lower risk points, because it'll pay off on the kind of high risk points when there's a lot of pressure in the form of missed returns or potentially volleys for your net player. So that really adds a lot of pressure to the opponent. You do not want to allow the opponent to get into a rhythm when they're returning, especially if they're just ripping cross court returns. So that's how I like to think about that. And then the other thing you want to keep in mind is the net player really needs to be reading the returner. So a lot of returners like to hit across their body. I've talked about this a little bit before, but it's especially true on second serves. So one example in the deuce court is I play a lot of players who have trouble with that backhand. So if it's a right-handed player in the deuce court, they have trouble with that backhand that's inside out. Instead, they like to pull it down the line across their body. So what I'll do as the server's partner is I'm just staring at the returner. And as soon as they turn to their left and I know they have a backhand, I know that ball's likely to come to me. Whereas if they turn to their right and I know they have a forehand, I might hold there for a second and then shift towards the middle looking for a cross-court return because I know they like to hit their forehand return across their body as well, which is cross-court. So if you can read their tendencies, and that's not true of every player. Not every player likes to hit these returns across their body, but some do. But regardless, just reading the returner's tendencies and where they like to hit those returns, then, you know, as the match progresses, you'll be able to stare right at them. And as soon as they turn in a particular direction, you'll know odds are they're going to hit this return in this direction, and it'll be this high over the net, and then it'll be have this pace or this amount of spin because you've been kind of studying all of these different things. So last is weak return. So this is one of the most common questions I've gotten recently. How do I handle my partner's weak second serve? So the first thing I'll say is before you start covering the alley, I would just encourage you to make sure that or make the opponent beat you down the line several times first. Even if they do, your partner has a weak second serve. A lot of times the opponent will still miss a lot of those down the line attempts, and maybe they'll make, you know, one out of three. And in that case, it's okay. Just let them make one out of three and you're going to win all of those or the majority of those service games because you're winning 67% of those points. So that's the first thing I would say. Make them beat you down the line, say two or three times in a row without missing. And then from there, you might shift towards the doubles alley. Now, a lot of this is going to depend on how weak the serve is, obviously, and then how strong the returner is. So in a lot of cases, you do need to force them cross court. So let's say, let's go back to the deuce court again. Your partner is hitting a weak serve. The opponent's hitting, stepping in and hitting a forehand from well inside the baseline. If they have a strong forehand and they're able to rip it at you down the line, you might need to shift over towards the doubles alley. Sometimes you might even need to put a foot on the singles line and just show them, hey, I've got this covered. You've got to go back at my partner cross court. And that's going to buy you time because if they rip it at you from well inside the baseline, you're not going to have a lot of time to react to that volley. You're very likely to miss it. So you don't want them going at you in this scenario. So this is one of the few times where I will encourage you to cover the alley a little bit and just force them cross court because the second serve is really weak, so you're immediately on defense. And when you're on defense, you want to force the opponent to hit to the player that's closer to the baseline because that player has more time to react. So by shifting over towards the doubles alley, you're forcing them cross court to your partner who's the server who is at the baseline and they have more time to react and get the point back to neutral. So keep that in mind if they've beaten you several times. One other thing you can do if your partner has a weak second serve, just to give the opponent a different look, is you can actually fake on some of those lower risk points. And I'll even poach on some of these, especially in mixed doubles. When I'm playing 9-0 mix, my partner's a 4-0 lady. I'm a 5-0 guy. If we're playing against, let's say, another 5-0, 4-0 combo, when she's serving to the 4-0 player, I know that I'll be able to poach and handle any sort of return that they hit, even if my partner does have a weak second serve. So I'll do that on some low-risk points. Now, often I will poach and I'll miss the volley because I don't have a lot of time to react. Like I said, they're taking this from well inside the baseline, but it's okay. The fact that they saw me poach and saw that I'm willing to do it, and I won't miss all of them, of course. I'll make some of them, but just even if you do miss, the fact that you're willing to do that is going to put a little bit of doubt in that returner's mind, and it might get you a missed return on some of those bigger points. So if you can throw in a fake or a poach, you know, if you're up 30 love in a game and your partner has a second serve, or if you're up 40-15 or 40 love, it's probably worth doing just to show the returner a different look and show them that you're not afraid to do that. Of course, if you do poach, I would tell your partner in between points, I would walk over to them and say, you know, we're up 40-15 here, or we're up 40 love here. If you miss your first serve, I'm going to poach on the second, or just tell them I'm going to poach on both. Either one works. And then the last thing I wanted to touch on for a weak second serve. So let's say the opponent beats you down the line a few times, you shift over, they're still going at you. There's two options. One, you can stand really close to the net and just try to react as best you can. A lot of times you'll frame the ball and it'll still go over and then they'll quit going at you. If you're closer to the net, it just makes it an easier volley. It does take away some time. So if moving closer to the net doesn't work, or if you feel like you just don't have the reactions to get that volley, and the opponent is still going at you and you're just, you don't have time and you're missing, playing two back on weak second serves is going to be okay. Because again, the second serve is weak, you're on defense, you just need to buy yourself time. So this is one of the few scenarios where I will say playing two back on a serve is okay. The other one is if you keep getting lobbed and your partner is having trouble covering that lob and they're getting just in a really bad matchup. So in that case, playing two back is okay on some of those weaker second serves. So hopefully this helped you out. If there's anything that you've tried that's worked for you on second serve strategy, definitely let me know. And then again, I'm going to link below to where you can sign up for free for TennisCon 7. The training product is coming out November 8th. If you're going to Cancun for the WTA Finals, let me know. Let's watch some doubles. And I'll have a lot of interviews from there coming up over the next week or so. So keep an eye out for that. And yeah, if you have any questions, you can always reach out, will@thetennistribe.com. And I will talk to you all soon. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Doubles Only podcast. If you're interested in diving deeper into any topics I discuss, I've created double strategy products that allow me to bring you more podcasts and other doubles content without relying on paid ads. I have ebooks and courses that help you make better strategic decisions during matches and become the smartest player on the court. Go to thetennistribe.com/products to learn more. You can also join my free weekly double strategy newsletter that includes video lessons and more on our homepage. If you want to connect, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or email me directly, will@thetennistribe.com.